building bridges, not walls, with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. Now, Eleanor Bader, award-winning journalist who writes about domestic social issues, movements for social change, books and arts, talks with us about campus reform funneling Coke money to groom right-wing journalists. So I want to start. Eleanor Bader, campus reform is not a movement, not a process. It's an organization, in effect, a trend that trains conservative students to monitor, surveil, and report on the speech and actions of left-leaning professors, students, campus activist groups for the organization's blog. Tell us more about how they came into being and why it is so concerning and why this is more than just a moment.
Okay. The Campus Reform is an organization that came together in 2009, but it's a project of the Leadership Institute, which was created by Morton Blackwell 41 years ago. He's someone who is very much tied into the new right of the Reagan era, and what he realized was that the only way to really win success for the right was to get students when they are very young. So he has created, along with Charles Koch, the Koch Foundation, and a lot of the organizations they are hooked into, a network of organizations to funnel conservative students, woo them essentially, and then funnel them into campus reform, other groups that are called with names like the Campus Fix, Turning Point USA, to actually have them surveil and report on the activities and statements of their professors when they say things that are either supportive of anti-fascist movements, anti-racist efforts, trans rights, feminist rights, and basically use them as an echo chamber so that they, campus reform is, as I said, a project of the Leadership Institute. The Leadership Institute runs classes for these students, not for credit. These are all free, but they train them in community organizing. They train them in reporting basic journalistic techniques. They train them to do podcasts and to write articles and do interviews that are then posted on the Campus Review daily blog, Campus Reform daily blog. The blog focuses on professors and student activists who they feel are in some way violating the American promise. That is, they are supporting anti-racist efforts, anti-policing efforts, or anything that's considered contrary to the right-wing playbook. Those stories in Campus Reform's blog are then funneled into right-wing media that gets national attention. So they go directly to Fox News, they go to the Daily Caller, they go to Breitbart, and they basically serve as an echo chamber to denounce particular professors or particular students or student groups that are articulating this worldview that they find offensive.
Before we plow deeper into it, why is this so alarming as opposed to people have the right to organize? People organize from the left, people organize from the right. I dare say that the right may have more money to do its organizing than the left does at this juncture. But why should that be so alarming? I mean, let the ideas contend so the right organizes the right.
Absolutely. The idea should contend. It's the way they contend. So what Campus Reform does, once the echo chamber blasts the message out, they organize students and often their parents and others within the right wing sphere to contact the professor. They have really issued some very scary warnings to people. So one of the people I interviewed for the article, and truth out, was Asha Rangappa, who teaches at Yale. She got all these emails, not only with death threats, but they knew where she lived. So she was getting satellite photos of her home. Sometimes they have gone after the children of professors. You know, we know where you live. We know where your children go to school. They make these incredible threats, often death threats, and they threaten people with firing if they don't cease and desist in making the comments. So the issue that should be free speech. I'm all for free speech. Let's fight it out. Let's yell at each other. Let's have a conversation. But when it veers into death threats and when it veers into other kinds of menacing behavior, then we're not talking about free speech anymore. We're talking about really hateful behavior that is menacing, threatening, and silences people. I mean, the goal here is to silence people, not to actually boost free speech and free discussion. They're trying to get these professors and students to capitulate and stop denouncing racism, stop denouncing sexism.
And since you mentioned students, Arizona State University Student Senate, talk about how campus reform has affected at least one of the students, if not more, there to again illustrate the chilling effect, the frightening effect they are intended to have to silence people with progressive ideas or ideas that are differ from the right and perhaps the alt-right.
Yeah, no, I mean, in this particular case, a young woman, she's 20 years old, who's an activist in several socialist groups. She's an out-and-proud socialist and a feminist and a Mexican-American immigrant, is a student at Arizona State, and she got herself elected to the student council, the college council or whatever it's called, as a representative of the College of Arts and Sciences. Because she's outspoken in support of anti-policing on campus and changing the priorities of the campus to fund student services and not the police department on campus, she became the target of a really hateful attack. She had a job where she was a reporter for the student newspaper, and it was a paid position. They organized so effectively, and they smeared her so soundly that the editors of the newspaper got terrified, and they fired her. She is not quieted down. If the intent was to get her to shut up, it failed miserably because she's really an outspoken activist. But the goal was to get her to shut up and to deny her the platform that she had as a columnist for this student newspaper. In Arizona State's a big school, so that she had a reader, you know, she was able to reach the student body of more than 20,000 students, and that has been denied her. Although, you know, as I said, she's still continuing to organize, she's still continuing to agitate, and she is in no way, you know, shutting up about her politics or about the beliefs mm-hmm. that she believes need to be articulated.
Now, I want to let's parse out and then really track through. You mentioned Morton Blackwell. Talk more about this nexus, this network of right-wingers that are affecting, killing the speech, and indeed allowing for organizations that threaten, that absolutely threaten speech, but literally threaten people personally. Let's really dig deep into where the Richard Viguerys and the Edwin Follners and so on fit in.
Well, Blackwell is very deeply tied in with the New Right and the men of the New Right, and they are all white men, pretty much. Richard Viguerie was one of the people he started to organize with back in 1979. Paul Weywerch, who passed away a few years ago, was also one of his colleagues. The right has always been better than the left at unifying. They basically have understood that while they may not agree with each other on every nuance of every issue, they are more allied than not and more alike than not. So what they have done is create this incredibly good pipeline that, I mean, you can call it a pipeline to power if you want, that basically connects these students to the larger right-wing network. It grooms these students so that once they become a so-called correspondent or journalist for campus reform, they then get this national play because their work gets seen by all these other groups. And they also, when they graduate, the pipeline is really very overt. Students who graduate who've been devoted to campus reform or to the other organizations get jobs when they graduate from college, jobs paying good salaries with either a right-wing legislator on the local, state, or federal level, or with the Heritage Foundation, or with any of the organizations that prop up the right wing in the United States. And, you know, these kids, they've got six people who were once campus reform reporters who are now working for Fox News. They got good training there and, you know, went on to get hired. Some of them work at places like the Wall Street Journal, the Drudge Report, you know, you name it. the pipeline exists so that these kids are funneled into the broader right wing, not only in media, but places like the Heritage Foundation and all of the other organizations like the Leadership Institute that basically, you know, do the day-to-day organizing of the right.
We should name some of the organizations we're speaking about, and then tell us more specifically about the Leadership Institute as part of this.
You know, well, the Leadership Institute, as I said, is 41 years old. They have been an extremely powerful organization on the right that pretty much no one has ever heard of. What they do, in addition to day-to-day organizing, on campuses is they run trainings. They do more than 400 free trainings a year, as I said, training these kids in stuff that, I mean, essentially I wish that I had had when I was a journalism student 100 years ago. How to do an interview, how to ask hard questions, how to not alienate the person you're interviewing, how to create a podcast, how to write a good lead, how to edit your own stuff. I mean, there's really hands-on training that gives these kids the skills they need to become journalists. They also do trainings that connect them to all the organizations that I mentioned, Heritage Foundation, you know, ALEC, the American Legislative Council, other groups that are on the right. They train them in how to take minutes at a meeting, how to conduct a meeting, what are Robert's rules, how do you organize, how do you make cold calls to strangers, how do you conduct a meeting, how do you do follow-up to a meeting. So that, you know, it's very hands-on, and it's really important that these kids are getting really good training, however right-wing oriented it is.
Well, you know, one of the things that you've pointed out, so, you know, there are groups that you talk about which have formed a nexus, really, the Heritage Foundation, the American Enterprise Institute, Americans for Prosperity, Freedom Works, the Club for Growth, the Reason Foundation, and the State Policy Network. Love these names. So the Leadership Foundation, you've said, has like $17 million, which used in 2018 to become a financial matchmaker of sorts, is how you frame it. Talk to us more about where that money comes from, and then some of the explicit campus reform or right-wing student networks that have formed, which, again, is enormously aligning for them and terrifyingly alienating and frightening.
Yeah, no, but these networks are really ironclad, and the pipelines are there, and they connect every element to the right, whether it's student groups, to legislative work, to I haven't seen much about anti-abortion stuff, but I'm sure that there's some connection somewhere. I haven't really investigated that. But the money comes
And I imagine anti-Palestinian work.
Oh, yeah, no. Well, one of the groups that they go after consistently is student groups who are active in either Black Lives Matter or Students for Justice in Palestine. Those are the two groups that have raised the ire of the right most dramatically, and they really slam students who are involved in either of those kinds of organizing efforts. But the money tends to come from right-wing foundations, and some of them are very well known, the Bradley Foundation, the Uline Foundation, and all of the foundations that are that have been connected to what was the Koch brothers, now is just the Charles Koch Foundation. And they raise millions of dollars, some of it dark money that's really difficult, if not impossible, to trace through groups like Donors Trust. There are a couple of other, dark money foundations that Charles Koch controls. And the money just gets funneled. They make a couple of calls to these ultra-rich people. And, I mean, I know in 2020 election, they call themselves nonpartisan, but they gave millions to Republican candidates, and they gave something like $200,000 to Democratic candidates. So, I mean, they really, the illusion of them being nonpartisan is a joke. But they have these deep-pocketed donors who are very committed to the next generation of right-wing activists, and they are wooing these kids on campuses all over the country and urging them to report on their professors and their colleagues, their other students who are doing work that they find reprehensible. One of the guys that they have propped up is a guy named Gabriel Nadal.
One of the guys named what?
they've promoted, that they've actually really pumped up, and who's on Fox News all the time. This kid who's now in his late 20s, Gabriel Nadales, who when he's interviewed, he is Gabriel Nadals. They have totally anglicized his name. He's a Mexican immigrant who says he was in Antifa groups when he was a 16-year-old kid and growing up in California. And he says that he found the error of his ways when he went to Citrus College, which is a community college in Southern California, and he was exposed to the ideas of Milton Friedman and Thomas Sowell. And he says that when he learned about the free enterprise system, his head spun around, and he saw the error of his earlier ways, and he has been now a spokesperson for the right, denouncing Black Lives Matter, denouncing Antifa and any groups that are doing anti-fascist work, as well as writing continuously for campus reform. And he's been propped up as one of their figureheads because here you've got this kid who's a Mexican immigrant who is articulate, who seems really personable and really kind of slick. And they've created this spokesman out of him. You know, they got him when he was a student at community college in California, and they've been kind of nurturing him ever since. He's got a position, a paid position, at the Leadership Institute. And the other thing that I need to stress that I didn't say earlier is that they pay their reporters. Campus Reform doesn't pay much, but they pay their reporters $50 for every article they write. So here you've got these college students, and $50 is $50. So, you know, they write these articles, and they can make a little bit of cash and have a bunch of clips that they can show when they graduate that they are published authors who have been paid for their work. They're professional journalists.
And I want you to mention, just because it comes so close to Trump, talk a little bit about Charlie Kirk and Turning Point USA and where that fits into this.
Okay, Turning Point actually scares me almost more than campus reform. It was started by a guy named Charlie Kirk, who's a kid, and he didn't get it. He wanted to be a West Point student, and he got rejected. And he was so bitter about it that he created an organization because his position was, if they weren't taking all these queers and people of color at West Point, I would have gotten in as an entitled white boy. And his bitterness, you know, basically catalyzed him to become an activist. His dad works for Trump. His dad was one of the architects who worked on Trump Tower in New York City, so he comes with a pedigree. But he created this group called Turning Point, the goal of which was to create this thing called the Professor Watch List, which goes hand in hand with Campus Reform. So Campus Reform writes about these professors who have said what they consider outrageous things about, you know, the country being founded on a foundation of racial oppression, and they sort of pump that out. And then Turning Point creates this massive list of professors at different universities across the country that are on their so-called enemies list. And, you know, it serves as a launching pad. So if somebody wants to target a professor for being progressive or for being pro-Palestine or anti-police violence or whatever, they've got this ready list of professors all over the United States, in all 50 states that are considered so-called enemies of the people. So, I mean, Charlie Kirk has made a name for himself. He, too, is often on Fox News and has become something of a celebrity on the right because he's young, reasonably articulate, and he's attracted a whole lot of folks who want to smear the left.
And he's the son of Robert Koch, who is a project architect manager at Trump Tower in New York City. So
exactly.
In the time we have left for this really, really important story and to understand how the right has taken on an organizational nexus and formation really across the country to silence by hook or crook people who take positions that are not neoliberal, not conservative, and indeed support human rights and individual equal rights and justice, if you will. What's the takeaway, and how does one respond to this terribly well-rooted, well-financed groupings that are permeating campus activity, and particularly looking at the issue of journalism and creating a right-wing stream for the reactionary news media that is corporate funded, that is already in place.
I wish I knew. I wish I had a simple answer for you. I mean, I think that knowing about these groups is step one. We need to know that they're out there, because most people have no clue. Your image of college students is people who are generally progressive, and the fact that they're trying to get a toehold for libertarian views and conservative views on campuses across the country needs to be pumped, you know, needs to be publicized so that people know what we're up against. And they also need to know that this is a coordinated campaign. It's not just something that is happening on one or two campuses. This stuff is happening, and students are encouraged to, if you will, snitch on progressive professors and student groups in the interest of building this right-wing echo chamber. And so I think just knowing about that is step one, so that when it happens, people know that immediately what it might be, so that they can respond. There are organizations that are in place that are trying to fight this. Uncoke My Campus is an organization that is looking at the impact of the Koch Foundation's work to build a right wing on college campuses, and they are continually fighting and to try to push for basically for people to know what the Koch Foundation is doing on campuses and how it's operating. They're pushing for transparency and funding and general operations of the right. So I think if anyone wants to be involved, Uncoke My Campus is a good place to start. In addition, Trinity Professor Isaac Camilla has started a group called Campus Reform First Responders. He and his assistant look at campus reform and all the right-wing public, blogs on a daily basis. And when they see a particular professor or college has been targeted, they reach out to both the institution and the individual to try to talk to them about the best ways to respond. Campus reform tends to zoom in on a professor for about a week, harassing them with phone calls, emails, just Twitter comments, sometimes death threats.
And if I may, let's put a name, one of our favorite guests, Jason Stanley, who's written consistently about fascism,
right,
and its manifestations. He was one of the targets as well.
Absolutely. And he did something innocuous. And it was literally a post on someone else's Facebook page denouncing someone who had said that homosexuality was a disease. And Stanley responded to that assertion pretty strongly. And the next thing you knew, campus reform was smearing him all over the place, and he got death threats. Yale University, where he teaches, got basically besieged with phone calls, letters, emails, tweets, you name it. He stood firm, as many other people have done, and basically, if you don't respond to them by engaging, it sort of wimps out in about a week. But that week can feel really, really long while you're the target of their animosity. But what Isaac is doing through the response network is letting people know not to respond, just to basically let it simmer, let it die a natural death, don't engage. But he also helps institutions that are interested in looking at this to assert very clearly that they are going to support faculty free speech rights, and they are going to not succumb to the impulse that says, shut up, you were wrong, don't ever say anything like this again. They are asserting the fact that what their faculty said or did is protected by the First Amendment, so go away, campus reform. We're going to defend our faculty.
Well, I'm afraid we have to leave it from there, but thank you. In the spirit of talking about remarkable journalists, none other than Ida B. Wells, who always understood and suggested that when you shine a light, that's mm-hmm. the first component of truth-telling and revelation and reformation of these negative, vicious issues and organizations that propel themselves forward and try to implant themselves in the body politic. Campus reform is funneling Koch money to groom right-wing journalists. An article by Eleanor Beda. Read it. She's an award-winning journalist who writes about domestic social issues, movements for social change, books and arts, and thank you so much for the work that you do. It's critically important.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Building Bridges, produced by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. Stay strong and stay well.